A worldwide protest at Google by Google's own people. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. In locations around the world today, Google employees have started walking out in protest of the treatment of women at the advertising, big data, and search firm. It's happened already in Singapore, Zurich, and London, and protests are planned for New York and beyond today. This was prompted in part by a published report last week that Google gave big payouts to some men who left the company after sexual misconduct allegations. The BBC's Jonathan Frewen is following this from London. Hi, Jonathan.
Good morning.
All right, so what do the Google employees want?
Well, there's a number of issues that Google's workers would like to see addressed. They'd like an end to what's called forced arbitration in cases of harassment and discrimination for all employees. That means that workers currently sign a contract that says all disputes will be dealt with internally rather than through court proceedings, and they want to see that clause lifted. Also on the list, a commitment to end pay and opportunity inequality, a transparent and thorough report on sexual harassment, plus employee representation on the company's board. And they're asking for the chief diversity officer to report directly to the chief executive with powers to make recommendations to the company's board.
Okay, so this kind of focus, any clues from Google management that they might be open to some of this?
Well, it's worth noting that Google's chief executive, Sundar Pichai, has said in an email to staff that he supports the right of staff to take action. He's also said that he's committed to making progress on an issue that he said has persisted for far too long in society and at Google. And in that email, he also indicated that some employees had made constructive suggestions to improve policies around harassment and that he hoped to turn those ideas into action. Now, it's not clear whether those ideas are the same issues that workers have been demanding action on in today's walkout, but I'd say it seems likely that the company is going to have to do something to deal with employees' concerns.
All right. The BBC's Jonathan Frewen in London. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Given some federal data on wages and salaries from last quarter, there should be upbeat paycheck news embedded in tomorrow's closely watched employment report for October. Diane Swank is chief economist at the accounting and advisory firm Grant Thornton.
I think we will see a higher read on wages tomorrow in the average hourly earnings index. We're looking for a 3.1% increase from a year ago, which would match what we saw in the employment cost index. There's a little caveat, though, in the number for October. Remember, a year ago, we had back-to-back hurricanes for quite a while in this time of the year. Last year, it was the big behemoths of Irma and Harvey. We also had Maria in Puerto Rico. And those hurricanes took a toll, particularly Irma, on wages in October a year ago. That means our year-over-year read on October, it's really easy to look like we're getting an acceleration in wages. So don't get too excited. The trend is in the right direction, but it could be a bit of a head fake when we see the print on tomorrow's data.
Okay, the headline number tomorrow is the number of names on payrolls. What's your prediction here, day before?
We're looking for 180,000 and a 3.7% unemployment rate, a 48-year low once again.
All right. Diane Swank at Grant Thornton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Under the tax overhaul, universities will have to start paying tax on big endowments. And now in Massachusetts, a Democrat running for governor wants to tax private endowments to subsidize public universities. That candidate is running behind in the polls. Among the reasons it's so uncertain where this goes, but endowments are under scrutiny, as Kirk Carapeza of WGBH reports.
Democratic candidate for governor Jay Gonzalez has proposed a 1.6% tax on private nonprofit colleges in Massachusetts, with endowments exceeding $1 billion. More than half of the revenue would come from Harvard University, just blocks from where Gonzalez made the announcement in Cambridge.
These nonprofit institutions have accumulated enormous wealth.
The tax would raise more than $1 billion each year from wealthy private colleges and give it to public college students through scholarships.
This investment will help us make our public universities and colleges affordable and debt-free for any resident eligible to attend.
His proposal follows the GOP tax bill that President Trump signed into law last year. It imposes a tax on the investment gains of colleges with assets worth at least $500,000 per full-time student. Starting this year, that 1.4% tax applies to Harvard and MIT in Massachusetts, Grinnell in Iowa, Pomona in California, 35 institutions nationwide. In Massachusetts, the incumbent Republican Governor Charlie Baker opposes adding a state tax on private institutions. In a debate, Baker said the state should invest in those schools instead.
The colleges and universities here in the Commonwealth of Mass are a major economic engine, a significant employer, and they do wonderful things to promote discovery, research, and learning.
The Education Trust, a national nonprofit that advocates for equity in education, finds 4% of all colleges now hold 75% of all endowment wealth, says Drew Nichols, a research director.
There is certainly a crisis in terms of college costs. There seems to be, in some places, a lot of resources that could really help alleviate some of that burden.
The Association of Independent Colleges and Universities in Massachusetts strongly opposes the tax, pointing out that the state's private colleges employ more than 100,000 residents. In Boston, I'm Kirk Carapeza for Marketplace.
Apple has its summer to fall results later today. Forecasters expect record profits in part because the $999 iPhone XS and the $1,099 XS Max sold quite well as the financial quarter wrapped up. There are non-Apple flip phones still available, new for one-ninth the price, by the way, if I may cut against the cultural grain for just a nanosecond. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.